who are some of the people that are leaving that have some key oversight roles over federal agencies?
Oh, well, there are a bunch. Sure. Let's start with Barney Frank, would be probably the best known Democrat who's retiring. He's been around for 32 years and, of course, is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee, overseeing the whole financial services industry. The other one, I guess, that immediately comes to mind would be Jerry Lewis, a Republican from California, the past chairman of the Appropriations Committee, who, in addition to actually being the full committee chairman, was probably the most expert at defense procurement issues for many, many years. They're all together. I think I've counted up. There are nine members with at least 10 terms under the belt who are retiring in the House, and then another six or seven in the Senate.
That's a pretty amazing year, relatively speaking, because I can't recall an election cycle where we've had this many people leaving with this much experience.
Certainly not leaving, in terms of leaving voluntarily.
Yeah.
That may be true. I mean, obviously, the 2010 election swept out several members with this kind of tenure, including the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Ike Skelton, the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, Oberstar from Minnesota. But you're right, voluntarily leaving, it's probably been about 10 years. This tends to happen most frequently in the years in which redistricting is happening, because these members, several of these members, are seeing their careers brought to an end by redistricting, which is turning what were once safe districts for them into difficult districts. That's certainly the case with, for example, Barney Frank and Jerry Lewis.
Another one that is in that same boat is David Dreyer. He's the chairman of the Rules Committee. He doesn't have a high profile in the federal community because he's been chairman of the or ranking member on the Rules Committee for a long period of time, but he is somebody that, because of his experience, his time in Congress, he first elected in 1980, I see in roll call, that he does have a lot of pull on the Republican side in the House.
A huge amount of pull, and yes, he's a perfect example of what we're talking about, which is California turned its redistricting process, took it out of the hands of the partisans, and turned it over to an independent commission, which was told to draw the lines in California so that they matched communities rather than protected incumbents, and David Dreyer was essentially left without a district to run in. He's now widely expected to either retire or maybe take his rather enormous campaign war chest and make a long shot run for the Senate. But yes, these members have, you know, they build up a lot of experience. Jeff Bingaman, for example, he is the senator who's with the most experience who's retiring. He's been around for 30 years, probably the Democrat with the most expertise on energy tax matters. He's both the past chairman of the Energy Committee and a member of the Finance Committee. Knows the ins and outs of energy tax law better than anybody. And when that kind of expertise goes away, it takes a long time to replace. It does get replaced, obviously. The one-fifth of the House of Representatives is new just last year because of the big turnover, and turnover like this does happen, but this is a little bit of a special bump.
This is tricky for federal agencies, too, because they have to work, in many cases, not only with new members, but in some cases, new staff members who don't have the experience in dealing with the agencies that the retiring members do. What are you hearing, or if anything, about that process and what that might mean for folks who work at the agencies who are going to have to be dealing with these new folks?
It's a great observation. I think one thing that drives the staff to – often the staff leave from chairman to chairman and from expert to expert. Some of these men and women really burrow in and put in long careers, whether they're bosses or the chairman or the minority ranking members. But what normally gets them to think about spinning through the revolving door and maybe going into lobbying or going to work in the executive branch or going back home and starting a business is when they fear that the partisan turnover is going to happen. And what we are seeing is that there are a pretty decent number of Republicans, actually, Republican staffers in the Senate who are leaving early this year because they expect, or they're gambling, that a year from now the Senate will have turned into a Republican majority and they want to have their required cooling off period under their belts now so they can come back early next year and start advocating before the very same people that they used to work for.
It's almost like a congressional version of in-trade.
That's an excellent analogy.
The whole idea of appearing before new members of Congress that you've never testified in front of before, working with people, trying to educate people about issues that you've never worked with before, that's the part of this, as I read your colleague's piece in Roll Call today about this, that struck me, David, is this is not a difficult process necessarily, but it certainly is an ongoing process, and it's something that folks at agencies are dealing with all the time, especially this past cycle, as you mentioned, and with the huge turnover in the House, a whole lot of people coming in who didn't really know what they didn't know, I guess.
That's exactly right. They didn't. Many of these people were swept into office on a surge of the so-called surge of Tea Party support, and really showed up in Washington, as you say, not knowing what they didn't know, and really some have decided to keep it that way. There are some of these freshmen who have decided, in essence, don't bother me with the details. I'm part of a cause, and I don't want to be bothered with the intricacies. I just want to vote for my cause. And there are others who've gotten here and thought, well, if I really hope to be effective at all for the long term, I better do some studying and really burrow in and get to know some of the issues in the agencies that I'm going to be tasked with overseeing. And in turn, many of the staff and many of the agency officials know who is who and which is which, and they read the political papers and the political tip sheets just like we do, and they know who's going to be around for more than 2 years and is worth really trying to come to understand and to curry favor with, and who they can probably put an asterisk next to their name and say they were here for 2 years and then gone.
You mentioned that the knowledge vacuum does get filled. How does it usually get filled? Is it just years of experience going by for the members who come and decide they like it here and want to stay and then are able to stay by getting reelected? Or is there another process on the Hill?
Well, the other process is, as I say, the staff who stick around, and many of whom also left in years past and have come back this year. There are several of these freshman members who reached into the lobbying and advocacy world and rehired, with the help of the Republican leadership, rehired expert people who were either experts in the politics of their state or experts in just electoral politics or experts on the issues that the member wanted to make his mark on, and they've come back to do this educating. I mean, there is a sort of, a permanent culture of expertise up there, and the ones who want to tuck in and dig in can learn pretty fast. I mean, many of these, especially if you're in a House member, a freshman House member, you're only really called upon to be an expert in a couple of things, the issues that are coming before the committee that you're on and the issues that are of particular interest back home, and oftentimes those things overlap. And it's not an impossible task to say, with a few months' work and a little bit of homework every night and getting on a briefing book on your airplane flight home, you can learn it.
Had a former member tell me once that this person said to me, I only had to show up at a hearing if I knew it was going to be 3 hours or longer because that was the soonest I'd get a chance to testify.
That is true, or at least ask a question, right?
Yeah.
They get especially when there are all these new members, there's a long way down the dais before some of these guys ever get to put a word in edgewise.